7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. If you notice the last verse of chapter 6, he says, he's talking about Jesus has gone into heaven, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made and high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is our high priest. Praise the Lord. Who is Melchizedek? Of course, we talked about that before. And some people think they had a mighty revelation when they discovered that Melchizedek was Jesus. But the truth of the matter is, Melchizedek is not Jesus. Because Jesus did have a genealogy. Jesus did have a father. Jesus did have a mother. Jesus did have beginning of days. Jesus did have end of life. And so on and so forth. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, the things concerning me have an end. Okay, and he talked about his death and so on. The secret of this whole story is not that Melchizedek did not have a mother or a father or a beginning of days nor end of life, but the secret is that the silence of Scripture in this case is anointed to bring us a truth. And that truth is that he didn't have a recorded mother, he didn't have a recorded father, he didn't have a recorded beginning of days, he didn't have a recorded end of life, he didn't have a recorded genealogy. And that's why he furnishes us with a type of the Lord Jesus, in that Jesus is our eternal priest. He will not be replaced by another because he will never die. He is eternal. And according to Hebrews 7:25, that's the very reason that you and I can't rejoice in a no-soul and a positive salvation, and we can rejoice with blessed assurance. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Uttermost means all the way. You can't be saved any more than that. When you go to the uttermost parts of the earth, you can't go any farther. That's it. You've gone to the limit. And here it is. He is able to save us to the limit, all the way, that come unto God by him. Why? Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And that's the point of this reference to Melchizedek and the silence regarding the various things in the life of Melchizedek. He proves as a beautiful, beautiful type of the eternal priesthood. Praise the Lord. Because we have no record of his death. You know, like he's a priest. He continues a priest forever and forever. Some believe that Melchizedek was a theophany, and of course I'm reviewing now, but a theophany is a visible appearance of God or a God to man. Or, according to the dictionary, a theophany is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Melchizedek was not a theophany, he was a real man. A theophany wouldn't have an earthly address, and Melchizedek had an earthly address. He was king of Salem. And by the way, he was king of Salem. It doesn't say he was king of Israel or king of the Jews. Jesus wasn't king of Salem. He was king of the Jews, wasn't he? He was king of Israel. Praise the Lord. So there are too many differences to make them sound the same. The similarities are for the purpose of proving the eternal priesthood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, some think that Melchizedek was a mythological figure or an imaginary figure, but I don't think the Bible would teach that a real Abraham met a mythological figure or an imaginary person and then make such a story out of it. I think we'd really be getting confused when we do things like that. Brother Griffin has a Bible that I'm anxious for some presentation from by him sometime when the time is right on mythology and how all these stories are, they're not real, just imaginary stories, you know. Adam and Eve, the Garden of Eden, the flood, all these things. And as he told me one time, by the time you read the introduction to this Bible, you've lost all faith in the Bible. Why read it? but I thank God. I thank God for the understanding that he has given us of his word. Amen. We're not tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, then we said here, others believe that Melchizedek was Jesus, but the Bible says he was made like unto the Son of God. Wouldn't it be foolish to say he was made like unto himself? You know, that doesn't make sense. You don't say somebody was made like unto himself. No, Melchizedek was made like unto the Son of God. And like we said, he was without father, without mother, without descent. And it's a fact that Jesus had a mother, and we can prove that very easily from the scripture, that Mary was the mother of Jesus, and so on and so forth. And you have his genealogies recorded in Matthew and in Luke. Adam and Eve were the only two people that were never born. They were created. They were the only two people that were never born. Jesus was born. The Bible says he was born when the fullness of the time was come. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, born of a woman. Same thing. Amen. And so, because Adam and Eve were the only two people that were never born, they were created. That's why the Bible says Eve is the mother of all living. So, then if Melchizedek was living, and get that idea, don't you? Then he was born. Because Eve is the mother of all living. You know, don't get confused. Always go back to the positive facts of the scripture and build on them. Don't build on some mystical thing that you don't understand. Amen. Amen. Melchizedek is mentioned three times in the Bible. And we read it, of course, the historical account of Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14, verses 18, 19, and 20. And then the prophecy, Psalm 110:4, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Praise the Lord. And then we have the doctrine, which we're studying today in Hebrews chapter 7. History, prophecy, and doctrine. And the doctrine of Melchizedek is based on the historical account of Melchizedek and on the prophecy. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's an oath. And of course, Jesus was made high priest by an oath, not by a legal carnal commandment. The priesthood of Jesus is not a pet idea dreamed up by the author of the book of Hebrews. No. Without the historical account and without the prophetical account, the epistle to the Hebrews could not have been written. So it's not something that was dreamed up. It was the anointed mind of a man of God who went back to the historical account and the prophecy that was given and put it all together under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and came up with this beautiful, beautiful doctrine of the eternal priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, if you don't appreciate the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because you don't understand it. Because when you understand it, you will love it.
Amen.
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 Amen. Maybe we'll be able to get that far today. Okay, I'm going to skip a little for the review here. Amen. We went over all of that. Righteousness coming before peace. Here we are. Okay, let's start with verse 4. Verse 4. We read verse 1. Verse 2, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was. What man? Melchizedek. Consider how great Melchizedek was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave his tithes, or a tenth of the spoils. Consider how great Melchizedek was. And then he says, you know how great Abraham was. I mean, Abraham's the one to whom God speaks and says, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You know how great Abraham is. He says, even Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Wow, Melchizedek must be pretty great, the author is deducting here. Amen. I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. James 2:23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. My, what a distinctive title. The friend of God? I'd like to be known as the friend of God. Well, we really do claim that ourselves. I realize that. But I mean, to hear that from heaven, you know. The friend of God? Oh, praise the Lord. The friend of God. And God has a way of letting us know who he's talking about, especially when it's so important. So he said here, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham. I suppose there were many people named Abraham. And it comes as a shock to a lot of people that just don't know that there is more than one person in the world named Jesus. You know, even in the Bible we have another Jesus called. I'm not talking about another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. I'm not talking about that. But another man's name in the Bible is called Jesus, Justice, and so on. And a bar Jesus in the Bible. And there have been names in the paper where there was a boxer one time from Spain or Mexico. His name was Jesus. Jesus. You see, the letters, J-E-S-U-S, were not limited to that one man, the Son of God, only. Jesus and Joshua are the same word. Jesus and Joshua, the very same word. But a lot of people think that there's only one word, Jesus, and that's it. No, there's people all over the world today whose name is Jesus. Jesus, but that doesn't mean they are the eternal priest or the Son of God or something like that. No. If you wanted to, you could name your child Jesus. I wouldn't recommend it, you know, but you could. That's a legal name, Jesus, okay? And so, God, through the writer of the book of Hebrews, makes it distinctly clear what Abraham this was, because there could have been many Abrahams in the world. So he says, even the patriarch Abraham. And in Jude chapter 14, we read about Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. And sure enough, you turn to your Bible in Genesis 5:22. Maybe you want to do that, just for fun, to prove the point here. Genesis chapter 5, and you can start with Adam in verse 5. It says, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. Brother Nichols, you got 10 fingers there. Would you use 7 of them for me this morning? Count. Adam is 1. Okay? Good. Hold a finger up. Okay, then we come to Seth, and in verse 8 we read, and he died. That's 2. And then we go to verse 11, the son of Seth, Enos, and he died. And then we go to verse 14, Canaan, and he died. And then Mahalaleel, and then verse 17, he died. And then Jared, and verse 20, and he died. And Enoch didn't die. So how many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, right? 7. And so the Bible says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam. You see, you can't make a mistake about which Enoch that was. Isn't the Bible great?
Amen.
It does. It really is. Amen. And you know what we read in Acts 1:11? The angel said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus.
Amen.
You know, not another. This same Jesus. Our particular Lord let us know who would be coming back. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Praise the Lord. And so we have, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham, you can't miss what Abraham that is, gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi who received the office of the priesthood. In other words, out of the 12 tribes of Israel, one tribe was designated as the priesthood tribe, and that was the tribe of Levi. You couldn't be of the tribe of Judah and be a priest. So that eliminated who? Jesus. Because Jesus was of the tribe of Judah. Jesus could not qualify, did not qualify as a priest on earth. He could not go into the temple. He could not offer a sacrifice at the brazen altar. But he offered a sacrifice.
Amen.
On a wooden cross.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. That is, of their brethren. Though they all came out of the loins of Abraham, the patriarch Abraham, the father of them all. Okay, verse 6. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham. He whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham. Melchizedek's descent was not counted from them. And he blessed him that had the promises. He blessed Abraham. Wow. Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Okay, the sons of Levi received tithes of the people according to a commandment in their law. And if you want to read those commandments, it's Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30-34. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. That's why the Pharisees, of course, were counting every little seed. And Jesus said, you tithe and some come and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. And then he turned around and said, this ought you to do and not to leave the other undone. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land, or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. Isn't that something? And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. And then we have it again in Numbers chapter 18, verses 24 through 28. So what we're learning here is Melchizedek was not a descendant from Levi. Yet he received tithes from that great man, even the patriarch Abraham. Now Abraham recognized the superiority of Melchizedek. Abraham recognized the superiority of Melchizedek. How? How do we know that? Because he voluntarily gave tithes to Melchizedek. Not by compulsion. He wasn't forced to do it. He voluntarily gave his tithes. And by the way, I think that's the best way to tithe.
Amen.
Voluntarily. I really believe that if we're going to do something, we ought to do it joyfully.
Praise the Lord.
Unto the Lord. Amen. Now, Melchizedek didn't come to Abraham and say, see who I am? I'm greater than you. No, he didn't boast of his authority or his superiority. We read, there's no mention of that in the scripture whatsoever. No. They just met, and Abraham gave his tithes to him, and Melchizedek blessed Abraham. But Melchizedek recognized his own superiority over Abraham. Isn't that fantastic? By receiving tithes of him. He accepted the tithes, acknowledging his own superiority over Abraham. And also by blessing him, he blessed him. Okay? And according to what we're reading, since Melchizedek blessed Abraham, it is agreed that Melchizedek is the greater. Because, verse 7 says, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. So Melchizedek blessed Abraham, and the Bible says, well, there's no contradiction. I mean, there's no arguing here. You can't argue this at all. Melchizedek blessed Abraham, proving that Melchizedek was superior to Abraham. Is Jesus superior to Abraham? Anybody know?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. 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 Verse 8, and here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Now, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. There it is witnessed that he liveth. Melchizedek liveth. What is the, who are the witnesses? What is the witness? It says here, there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Well, I think the silence of the Genesis account definitely lends to the thought that he liveth, without father, without mother, without descent, so on. You can't find it. There's no record of it. And then, of course, the oath, the prophecy in Psalm 110:4, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He liveth. Praise the Lord. The sons of Levi had to be replaced continually.
Yeah.
Why? Because they died.
Yeah.
And so the priest had to give up his office to somebody else. He died. But Jesus will never have to give up his office of high priesthood. Okay. Praise the Lord. Jesus needs no replacement.
That's right.
The high priest on earth was a priest for life. As long as he lived, he was the priest. And that's why you read, upon the death of the high priest, things would change for the man in the city of refuge. But Jesus will never die, and his priesthood will never be passed on to another. Verse 9, and as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Isn't that an amazing thing?
Yeah.
Levi, who received tithes, this person and his offspring received tithes, and yet he paid tithes. This writer is really unique, I think, the way he comes up with these things. How did Levi pay tithes? He paid tithes in Abraham. God calls those things that are not as though they are, the Bible says. And where was Levi before he was born? The Bible says he was in the loins. He was in the seed of Abraham. He wasn't born yet. He wasn't produced yet, but he was there. God counts it that way.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Verse 10 says, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him upon the return from the slaughter of the kings. So the priesthood tribe paid tithes to Melchizedek in Abraham, because Abraham did it, his offspring did it, according to this, the reasoning we have here in the scripture did. So the author's point is, since the priesthood tribe paid tithes to Melchizedek in Abraham, that makes the Melchizedek priesthood greater than the Levitical priesthood. And that is the point that the author is making here in this chapter. The Melchizedekan priesthood is greater than the Levitical priesthood. That's very important to you that have understanding. Okay, so judge ye which priesthood is the greatest. Verse 11, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, now we're getting down into some real meat here. If perfection, if the Levitical priesthood could bring about the person's, the worshipper's perfection, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Follow that? Good for you. Good for you. If the Levitical priesthood could bring the worshiper to perfection, then there would be no need of a change. But the Levitical priesthood couldn't bring the people to perfection. They could only offer temporary relief, like an anacin or an aspirin, or a Tylenol or an Excedrin?
Praise the Lord.
Temporary relief, temporary forgiveness, temporary release, as it were. But let me just ask a question first. What is all this talk about priesthood? What do we care, Brother Tanner, what do we care about priesthood for? What, how does that pertain to us?
Hallelujah.
What in the world is so exciting? And why do you get so excited about a priesthood? I mean, after all, Jesus died on the cross to save me. Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
He died on the cross to save me, and he forgave me all my sins. Boy, now if I'll never sin again, I got it made. If I never make another mistake again, I've got it made. Jesus died for my sins.
That's right.
But what would I do if I made a mistake without a priest?
Amen.
I would go to hell.
Yeah.
You would go to hell.
Yeah.
We would all be eternally lost.
Yeah.
Without a priest.
Amen.
Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
Yeah.
You need prayer. I need prayer. We need an interceder. And we have one. In our high priest.
Hallelujah.
The Lord
Amen.
Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now, he doesn't go around with a bloody mop cleaning up after our piggish living and sinning. That's not the idea of the priesthood. We also have a Heavenly Father who has a woodshed
Amen.
And a chastening rod, and he takes us there and he beats us.
Yes.
And we shall not die. We're going to drive that devilish spirit out of us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And if you're in the church, if you're really in the church today, you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Amen. He loves us. And whom he loves, he chastens, the Bible says.
Right.
And if he doesn't chasten us, we are illegitimate. We are not genuine children of God. Oh, I love this message. Praise the Lord. What is a priest? Who needs a priest? What is a priest? A priest is a person, this is Webster, whose function is to make sacrificial offerings and perform other religious rites as an intermediary between deity and worshipers. We have to have a mediator. We have to have a priest. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And if that mediator, if our high priest is not Jesus, we are lost. Because he's the only one that qualifies. He's the only one that is able. Amen. So who needs a priest? Answer, all who have sinned. That's who needs a priest. Amen. Amen. If therefore perfection were under the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, the law was administered by the priesthood, you might say, and we have just enough time to finish that, I think. What further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Now, God very definitely instituted the Levitical priesthood, and this is what was so problematical for the Jews. God instituted the priesthood. They knew that. There was no question about that. You can turn to Exodus chapter 28 and we can read four verses there and see that. And since God instituted the priesthood, it was hard, very difficult for them to agree to a change in that priesthood, which necessarily must come if we're going to be saved. Exodus chapter 28, and take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." So there you have the institution of the priesthood by God himself. God instituted the Levitical priesthood. And so it was so hard for those Jews who were under that priesthood to conceive of another priesthood replacing this God-given priesthood. Right. How can this be? But if you're going to read the whole Bible, you have to allow for things like that.
Amen.
Because that's an oath. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. There's going to be a change. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Praise the Lord.
So the Jews tenaciously held that the Levitical priesthood was permanent. It would be permanently installed one day.
Yes.
Amen. I like
Amen.
That. That's Jesus. Amen. And it would not be after the order of Aaron. It would be after the order of Melchizedek. And that's why he went to the struggle and the trouble to show us how great Melchizedek was and how Melchizedek was greater than Abraham, and how Levi, the priesthood tribe, was in Abraham when Abraham paid tithes to a greater man than himself. Follow it?
Praise the Lord. Amen.
So the author proves that the Melchizedek priesthood is greater than the Levitical priesthood, and that Melchizedek is a type of Jesus, that Jesus is the eternal high priest. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's so fantastic how they can take the silence of Scripture and build such a powerful doctrine along with Psalm 110:4, the oath, the prophetical utterance. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Ah, oh, God's not changing his mind. This is it. I'm going to save somebody. Anybody here want to be saved? He says, if you want it, I'll do it. He's going to save somebody to the uttermost Amen. Through that priesthood.
Praise the Lord.
Fantastic.
Amen.
Fantastic.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Absolutely. God instituted the Levitical priesthood. But it was not final because it was not made with an oath, the Bible says. It was not made with an oath. So it was not final. It was a temporary situation. The Levitical priesthood was limited, and Jesus' priesthood is unlimited. I love that. Okay. Verse 11, for under it, that parenthetical statement, for under it, under the priesthood, that is, the people received the law. The law was given, but it depended on the priesthood. The law, the administration of the law, the use of the law, depended on the priesthood. In other words, when the law was broken, in the Old Testament, when an Israelite broke the law of God, the priesthood made temporary provision for that broken law. Oh, do you want to read about that? Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15, beginning at verse 27, just two verses. Numbers 15, 27 and 28. Now, my statement was that when the law was broken, the priesthood made provision. And I add the word temporary provision until Calvary. Temporary provision for that broken law. Here's an example. Numbers 15:27. And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly. To sin was to transgress the law. What is sin? The New Testament says sin is the transgression of the law. Paul said, if there was no law, I wouldn't have known sin. Without the law, there's no transgression, the Bible said. So, we have here the law and the priesthood in Numbers 15, verses 27 and 28. If any soul sin, that's breaking the law, through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. That she-goat was what the priesthood allowed for. The law, the priesthood, allowed for that. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul. That's a temporary atonement, isn't it? Because Jesus is the atonement. Make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. Praise the Lord. Why was the law given? Romans 5:20 says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, that sin might appear to be sin. Why was the law given? That the offense might abound, or that the offense might be conspicuous. Romans 7:7, Paul said, nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. Were it not for the law, I wouldn't have known what sin was. So we say now that the law was temporary, the Levitical priesthood was temporary. Well, what was it for? What did it serve for? Now we're reading the answer. Galatians 3:19. Why was the law given? Paul anticipates the question and says, wherefore then serveth the law? He knows you're going to ask that, so he asks it himself. It was added, he says, because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. So everything was temporary until Jesus came.
Yes.
And he made a permanent atonement for our sins. Galatians 3:24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So wherefore then serveth the law? For these purposes, to show us how sinful we really are, to expose sin in us, and then to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law reveals our wickedness. The priesthood offers for our sins. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The Levitical priesthood served its purpose. But its purpose was not to bring men to perfection. It was unable to bring men to perfection. It couldn't do it. It was inadequate. And so we read, and we'll read in the future in the book of Hebrews on these verses, those sacrifices that they made continually over and over and over and over again. Couldn't atone for sin permanently, just temporary. Just a temporary relief is all it was. The imperfection of the Levitical priesthood. Number one, the priests themselves died, leaving their office to another. That's not a perfect system. Not perfect. Number two, the sacrifices they offered could never take away sin. So that's another sign of imperfection in the Levitical priesthood. Number three, it was only the shadow of good things to come. A shadow isn't the perfection, is it? A shadow isn't perfect. You get the outline, you get the general gist of things, but it's not perfect. You can't tell the color of a person's eyes in their shadow. But Jesus has all the details for us. Praise the Lord. And so the Levitical priesthood was imperfect. That's why it had to be changed if we'll ever be eternally saved. It had to be changed. Verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. So the priesthood was changed. Now we got to change the law. We'll talk about that next Sunday. Amen. Can we just stand a moment and thank the Lord for his life-giving word?